somewhere.
Don't talk to me.
Are you sure you wouldn't like to stay just a little while longer?
Welcome to this week's edition of Bad Moon Rising. Back with a full complement of crew this week.
Hey!
Spocker, Neil, and me, Bib. This week we're talking about UFOs. Uh-huh. Go on then, Spock.
Okay, well, I'll be starting with the Phoenix Lights. Most people, you know, it's quite a popular one. Most people have heard about it. It was, I think it occurred in the late 90s.
Was it Phoenix, Arizona, yeah?
Phoenix, Arizona, that's right, yeah. It's quite a popular one, quite well known, because it was quite well featured. It was loads of video, and it was well featured in the local press and TV channels and what have you. And basically what occurred was on March the 13th, 1997, people spotted, I mean, this is multiple witnesses. I'm not too sure on the number, but we can probably be guaranteed into the hundreds. And it was over about a 300-mile range over Phoenix. And people spotted what they could ascertain as a triangular form of lights over Phoenix, which practically blocked out most of the sky. So
it was sky-sized then?
Well, yeah, it was huge. It was massive, you know. And the three lights were in symmetry with one another, you know, equidistant to one another. So, I mean, there's been the kind of, you know, the alternative explanations were, I think the United States Air Force said that a group of lights were actually caused by some A-10 Warthogs dropping flares. But
of course, then, they would say that, though, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would say that, but then how on earth do you get this perfectly symmetrical triangle in the sky, blocking out most of the sky? That's not flares, you know, but they came out with various bits and pieces.
We know flares can stay in the air for minutes at a time.
Yeah, but they don't,
seemingly in the same position, but
they don't. They don't synchronize with one another perfectly.
Oh, no.
Exactly. So.
Hmm.
So, as I say, witnesses claim to have observed a huge, carpenter's square-shaped UFO containing lights, or possibly light-emitting engines. Now, Fife Symington, the governor at the time, was perhaps the most noteworthy witness to the incident. And I don't know if you know about this or sort of followed it a bit.
This is the first I've heard about it, to be honest with
you. Is it really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he came out and rubbished the whole thing. They did a press conference, because obviously people want an explanation for what this was. So he held a press conference, and he basically just took the piss out of it. He got somebody to dress up as an alien. At this press conference, and he came on and said, yeah, it's the aliens visiting, and took the piss out of it. And that really, you know, that really angered a lot of people, because it's quite a serious subject. A huge dark black triangle flies over your town. You know, you don't want somebody taking the piss out of it. You want a genuine explanation. And it pissed a lot of people off, and I think, you know, obviously he was feeling the pressure as a governor. And later on down the line, he actually turned around and said, look, yeah, no, I saw it as well. and I'm very sorry that I took the piss.
Oh, was this when he stopped being the governor? He actually said that, didn't he?
I don't know if it was the time that he stopped being the governor. I think he was still the governor at the time. But, yeah, he eventually just came out and said, look, I'm sorry I took the piss. I saw it as well. And I've no explanation for it.
Didn't any Air Force go up to intercept it?
I don't think so, because the official explanation was that it was the Air Force that were practicing on that night. So,
right, okay, so they were probably saying that, because if they did go and intercept it, people would think, oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
So what air bases are in that area?
I'm not too sure, to be honest with you. There's going to be one fairly close, though, isn't there?
Well, there always is, isn't there?
I think the air base is very close to Phoenix. Very close, actually. And that's what a lot of people did think it was, the Air Force at first. You know, they thought, no, this is too big. Because, what was that plane? What was it called? R-71 Blackbird.
That was blamed for a lot of triangular UFO sightings.
But it's not triangular, though.
Stealth.
No, R-71 Blackbird is...
the Blackbird, that's going back into the 80s, isn't it? It can achieve Mark 3 or something.
Do you remember a film called Daryl?
Yeah, I do.
About an android kid. He flew one of those at the end of the film.
Yeah. That's a good film, actually.
Yeah.
No, it was awful.
You sure it was Daryl?
Yeah.
Was that the one where he's visited by an alien or something?
No.
Okay.
I'd just like to say to all the listeners that these two gentlemen don't sit up and watch Stargate all night and watch a lot of sci-fi films. Okay.
Great. I don't get time these days.
Saying that, I want to go and watch the new Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, it looks fucking fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Phoenix Lights.
Okay, the first sighting from Phoenix was by Tim Lay and his wife Bobby, his son Hal, and his grandson Damien Turnage.
His son Hal?
Hal, yeah.
Yeah,
short for Harry, I believe.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. And they first saw the lights of the craft when they were above the Prescott Valley, about 65 miles away from them. At first, they appeared to them as five separate and clearly distinct lights in an arc shape, like they're on top of a balloon.
Mm.
But they soon realised the lights were moving towards them. Over the next 10 or so minutes, they continued coming closer, and the distance between the lights increased as they took on the shape of an upside-down V. V for Vendetta. Eventually, when a couple of miles away, the witnesses could make out a shape that looked like a carpenter's square with the five lights set into it, with one at the front and two on each side. Soon this craft was coming right down the street where they lived, about 100 to 150 feet above them, traveling so slowly it appeared to hover and not making any sound. It then passed over their heads and went on through a V opening in the peaks of the mountain range towards Squaw Peak Mountain and beyond toward the direction of the Phoenix Sky Harbour International Airport.
Is there any video of this?
There's tons of it, yeah. I mean, you just go into Google and throw Phoenix lights in.
Mm.
It was, as I say, the press got hold of it. There was loads of video of it. It was multiple witnesses all over the place.
Oh, what was the police doing at this time?
I don't know. What were they doing? Probably shitting themselves.
But the thing is, what I mean is, a lot of the time, because the police aren't normally associated with the military, are they? So they'll just be trained observers, aren't they? So they'll just have a look at it and think, okay, what is that? You know.
Hmm.
And but they have to give an explanation to the people, don't they, to calm them down.
Yeah, true, but I'm to be honest, I don't know what the police response was.
Okay.
Well, this is my argument, right? If there was that much video evidence, and why was, how many reports were filed? I mean, if you see somebody breaking into a car and it's caught on CCTV, okay, yeah. You can use that as evidence in court of law.
Uh-huh.
If you see a UFO fly past a bloody CCTV camera, they just put it down to,
a weather balloon.
Yeah, UFO, you know.
Yeah.
Well, listen to this quote from Fife Sivington, right?
Yeah.
This is what he said about it. Two of them. He goes, it was enormous and inexplicable. Who knows where it came from? A lot of people saw it, and I saw it too. It was dramatic, and it couldn't have been flares because it was too symmetrical. He had a geometric outline and a constant shape. Yeah, I mean, it just says it already, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there was one report of a child he came out into his garden and saw this thing going over him, and it was so close, so close to him that he could have picked up a rock and just thrown it at the object.
Bloody hell.
But I think his parents ran out and said, no, don't do that, you don't know what's going to happen. Because yeah, would
probably park and come and complain.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
but you know who I am.
Alien invader.
Zapped and killed instantly, I should think. But I mean, these huge witness reports—it's hard to sort of refute them or to explain them away. What, you know?
Mm.
I mean, you could say it was a military project, maybe.
Mm.
Because these things always do tend to happen near military bases, don't they?
Spock, you pouring a drink?
Yeah.
What are you drinking?
My mic is too good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can hear it.
What are you drinking?
A tropical fruit drink.
Yeah.
Oh, Pansy's drink, eh?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Stick an umbrella in it next?
Spanish lilt. Yeah. That's what you get every night, isn't it?
Spanish melt, more like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, anyway, back to what we were talking about. You fucking minge. Come on, get back on topic.
So, yeah, well, that's it. What do you think?
So, what was the official ruling on the Phoenix lights then?
Oh, the official explanations were it was a military exercise, which right. is fairly weak.
Okay. So, to this day, you know, I mean, obviously there are a lot of locals that know they saw something, you know, because you know when you see something, you know it's there, you know, especially if someone else sees it with you.
Especially when it's a huge fucking triangle.
Yeah, you know you're not having a hallucination, don't you?
That flies over the entire city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You've got a lot of official denial on stuff like this, and it makes you wonder why, doesn't it? But the thing is, I mean, if the government turned around and said, we've no explanation for it, it seems to us that it may be an alien spacecraft, you're just going to cause your public to descend into absolute panic. Because the next response is going to be, well, what are you going to do to protect us from these things? And there's fuck all they can do.
Oh, yeah, of course there is.
So they have to deny it, and they have to come out with bullshit stories, don't they?
So that gives free rein for any aliens to come and fly in and out of our airspace.
Yeah.
Whenever they sort of want.
Mm-hmm. But to be fair, they don't exactly cause much problem, do they? So.
No, but they do. I mean, what about that one who travelled? When was it? A few years back, about 3 years ago, it went from one side of the country. All across southern England, across all these air bases, and then disappeared. It went to like, 400 miles in about 30 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, it just hovered over all these air bases and army bases.
Oh, right, okay.
What about that, there was a general, and he was talking about when he was working at a nuclear base, and this UFO hovered outside the main base, and they shut down this silo.
I can't remember exactly where it is, but yeah, that happened at the same time we first discovered nuclear power, and the theory goes that we were
also in the 50s.
Yeah, 50s, and we were testing nuclear bombs out in Nevada or whatever it was.
Now, we tested our bombs in. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we take the French stance on nuclear bombs and tested them underwater?
It was in the Pacific, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think because we've got islands in the Pacific, so have the French, so they're legally allowed to test nuclear weapons underwater in certain parts of the Pacific Ocean.
Okay. Well, the theory goes that. Whenever you test one of these bombs, it gives off a lot of gamma radiation, and that would fly off into the solar system, out into the universe, and would have been picked up quite possibly by an alien race.
It's no mistake then that the vast majority of UFO sightings happened post 50s era nuclear.
How do you mean?
Well, the vast majority of strange sightings in the sky happened after the 1950s.
After the 50s, yeah. At the point that we took a technological...
Well, actually, they did the first nuclear tests in the early 40s, didn't they, to test the bomb that they were going to drop on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So, yeah, it would have maybe taken a couple of years to get out there, but...
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a guy called Stanton Friedman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. His philosophy on the whole thing is, and it's quite scientific, if you think about it, there's nothing you can know about these aliens, really, okay? Apart from one thing, and that is they will have an urge to be able to survive. It's like any species, it wants to survive and protect itself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they see us playing with the nuclear bombs.
So they think of us as a future threat?
Yeah, they're basically, now they're monitoring, they're saying, hello, now they're playing with the matches. Let's just keep an eye on them. Because that's the only thing you can know about another race, is that it will be worried for its own survival. It will be interested in its own survival.
Mm-hmm.
And it sees us testing nuclear bombs. Yeah, you're probably right. That's probably why we've seen an increase in sightings.
There was a fantastic... Remember the new series of Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
The colour ones?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was the Twilight Zone or Outer Limits. I'm pretty sure it was the Twilight Zone. But there was an episode... what was it called? I can't remember what it was called. But basically what it was... was, yeah, the American president, and suddenly this alien materialised in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
And it said to him, you've got two choices, right? You haven't got two choices, but basically, you have a small penchant, really, a small thing for war, right? It said, unless you do something about it, we're going to have to destroy you, okay? And then with that, this alien disappeared. And US president said, I'm going to have to gather together all the world leaders and stuff, and we'll have to abolish nuclear weapons and stuff. Mm. And fucking hell, he managed to do it. And, the world was nuclear free, everybody lived in peace and harmony, and this alien came back down the Oval Office about a year later and said, right, I've seen what you've done, and unfortunately you misunderstood the thing I said. When I said you had a small thing for war, I mean, it was too small. You needed to be bigger. Because you haven't got any defences now, we're going to have to destroy you anyway.
Yeah, that sounds
a fantastic episode.
But the thing is, it is necessary to have defence against, because you don't know what's out there, do you?
I think world governments are being naive when they say that there's absolutely no threat from space.
I think they know there's a threat.
There's always a threat from space.
If you look at a lot of the early NASA video feeds, there's quite a lot of it you can find out on Google, and you can see they're talking about, hello, there's a craft following us and stuff like that.
Mm.
And then what was it in the 80s, they suddenly decided to encrypt all the fucking video feeds. I wonder why. You know?
Yeah,
they're out there. We know they're out there. I personally don't think the government knows anything more than us. Or any government on this planet is not in contact with them. I don't think they're in contact with them, and I think they know about as much as we do, which is fuck all, really.
So, but they know they're there, though, don't they? So
they know there's something going on. Then they know they're there. As far as they're probably concerned, they haven't posed a threat, so let's just ignore it.
Mm.
They probably monitor the situation, but they've never threatened us, so just leave it alone, sort of thing. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're actively monitoring it.
Well, the thing is, our broadcasts are not protected, are they, really? So they're just going out into space anyway, all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what they were saying. You'd think that, you know, since television's been around and all the signals that have been sent out into space, you know. When was the first television?
Oh, fucking hell. 1920s.
Okay, so even since...
Was it 20s?
Yeah, John Logie Baird.
Okay, I don't
know. That's when he first tested his...
Hang on, you could go further back than that, then, because you could say, well, the first radio broadcast.
Well, Marconi, yeah.
There you go.
So, you know.
But even then, if you worked that
out... It wasn't actually Marconi that...
No, it wasn't, but he got a patent for it, so...
Yeah, but it wasn't his idea, though.
No, it's somebody else.
Yeah, well, I can't remember.
Completely different nationality as well.
Was it Nikola Tesla?
Tesla, yes, it was Tesla, yeah.
That guy was a genius.
Anyway, fucking hell, back on subject. What were we talking about?
Yeah, so...
Phoenix Lights.
Yeah, so... So you got something which was about 300 miles wide?
It was seen over a 300 mile wide radius.
Okay, right. So
that would be a big fucking...
That's a big ship, isn't it?
300 miles wide? Oh, fucking hell.
But like somehow Independence Day, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a big craft, and it was it's not something you'd miss.
No, it was witnessed by a lot of people, by the press, blah blah blah.
Did it? Do you know when it flew over Phoenix? Did it actually stop in midair?
No, I think it just slowly hovered and then disappeared. It stayed up there for quite a while. God knows what it was doing, you know. Seems to me all they're trying to do. Yeah, it just seems to me that they're trying to let us know that they are there. Mm. I can't see anything beyond that. So, unless we take into account Ashtar.
Ashtar? Mm. Well, we could do. Is that a link?
That's a segue.
I was going to start with the Voronezh UFO first.
Okay.
All right, well... hang on a sec. Okay. Now we're going to start about... Thank you, Spock, by the way, for your enlightening account of the Phoenix Lights.
No problem.
The Voronezh UFO sighting in Russia. On the 27th of September 1989, around about 6:30...
In the evening.
Witnesses reported seeing a dark red flattened sphere.
In September of 1989, something happened in the city of Voronezh, 200 miles south of Moscow, which caught the attention of the world press. For several weeks, strange lights were seen over the city. Then on September the 27th, it was reported that a spacecraft landed in one of the city's public parks, from which three alien giant figures emerged. Nothing remotely like this had happened in Voronezh before. Before coming to America in 1990, Ukrainian journalist Paul Stonehill covered the Voronezh story for the international press.
Top Voronezh researchers of anomalous phenomena, who include scientists, geologists, and also some military people, went to the site. Immediately thereafter, they were on the site on the 3rd of October, studying and collecting specimens.
The encounter became a media sensation on national television and in the international press.
Не было, ну уже хотя бы потому что не было до сих пор Воронеже событий подобных тем.
Drawings of the landings by children who were there capture the event vividly.
It attracted the attention of the media around the world because it was effectively endorsed by TASS, the Soviet news agency, who up until that time had certainly not given any credence at all to this kind of story.
They had the chance to talk to many eyewitnesses, adults as well as kids, policemen, school teachers, students, scientists, who had witnessed similar or even differently shaped UFOs. The underlying theme was that giant-like beings exited from strange-looking craft, did some research throughout Voronezh, and were able to get back to their craft and fly away.
For once we had a genuine large number of people all correlating with one another, describing the appearance of these giants. So it was not a case of you simply believe a witness or you don't. Here you couldn't fail to believe them because there were so many of them talking in concert.
I was standing not far from the main road of the South Park, and I saw this flying object at an approximate height 200 of 250 meters.
It stayed at the same height and did not move horizontally. I was very interested by all that, because it could not be any kind of meteorological balloon.
There was a squeaking sound. Perhaps some drilling tool was operating, like it was boring a hole in the ground.
The creature started coming out. They did not look too much like humans. They were much taller than humans. They did have shoulders, but I didn't see the head.
He was huge, really huge, bigger than we are. He was a mighty figure.
In 1989, Sergei Makarov was one of the school children who was in the Voronezh Park.
I remember a crowd that gathered around the place. Everybody was scared. Everybody turned pale. I was absolutely flabbergasted.
Denis Borzenko was also one of the boys in the park on that day in September 1989.
I saw some traces there, and also a strange man. Outwardly, he looked like any other man. Only he was huge. A moment later, he suddenly disappeared.
I had no doubt that the UFO and the giants existed, because I saw them. But sometimes when I look back, it seems sort of like a fairy tale.
What we're seeing today is very much what we have seen all throughout history. It's nothing new. Anything going on with the UFO phenomenon today is something that has always been around, and you can find it in ancient mythology all over the world.
We have the legends, and of course, in some cases, we have cave paintings of giant-looking beings and even footsteps. I would think something was in the past, and this something was much bigger than our normal earthlings.
Whether fact or fantasy, giants have occupied our collective consciousness for as long as we can remember. But did a race of giants ever truly walk the earth? The ancient texts, as well as some of the evidence, suggest they did. And is it possible that recessive genes in the 7 and 8 footers that walk amongst us today could be connected to a former race of giants? Now, with reports like the giants of Voronezh, what if perhaps the godlike giants of the Sumerians are coming back? But whether they are real, imagined, or allegorical, one thing is for sure. The mystery and the myth of giants will be with us for a long time to come.
About, I don't know, what's 15 times 6? Christ's sake, where do they get these bloody measurements from? In size, circled 12 metres above the ground in South Park, disturbing the
You'll have to derain mass on that, listeners.
Yes, sorry about that. It flew away and a few minutes later returned and was witnessed as it hovered near the ground by 12 lower school children and 30 to 40 adults waiting at a nearby bus stop. They saw a hatch open in the bottom. A burly, 3-metre-tall entity appeared, filling the hatch. Can you take up from now, Spock? Read the rest of it for me, please.
The entity had no neck. And its head seemed too small. More like a knob than a head.
It wore a silver jumpsuit and bronze boots. I bet it did. It allegedly had 3 luminous eyes and 2... An outer 2 whitish and the middle one slightly above, red, pupilless and movable, swivelling around like a radar. It also had a dish-shaped object on its chest. The entity appeared to scan the terrain slowly and then closed the hatch, meaning it looked at Russia and thought, no, I don't want to come here. Definitely not.
Yeah. Oh,
look at the place. Look at the place.
Oh, that was just too funny.
And yeah, so they actually saw this thing get out. This thing that looked like a giant knob. Are you sure it wasn't Ann Summers doing like some promotional work or something?
Maybe.
Oh, they,
Anyway. Basically, the long and short of it is.
There we go.
This spaceship lands in a park in Russia.
Yeah.
And from what I can make of it, this alien comes out with a really. They called it the pinhead alien.
Okay.
Right. Not the knobhead alien.
Pinhead.
And
is it like from Hellraiser?
That was something like that, yeah. And all these kids saw it, and basically what happened was it went back in, and it came back out, and had this robot alien with it.
Yeah.
And this kid came up to him, and basically this alien went back inside and came back with this gun like protrusion, pointed at him, and this kid just disintegrated.
What?
Yeah. And then these aliens got back in the spaceship, flew off, and then as soon as they'd gone, the kid reappeared again.
Okay.
So there you go. I think we've totally ruined all of this. Thing.
So anyway, it was only kids that saw this, though, was it?
No, it was adults.
30 to 40 adults, apparently.
30 to 40, yeah.
There's very little anecdotal evidence.
What happened to the kid who reappeared then? Did he say that he felt a bit dizzy or a bit phased?
Apparently he was unnamed. So,
God.
It sounds
a little bit too, like, you know.
It sounds a bit odd, and it sounds like there's some sort of cultural thing going on there.
I think it might have turned into an urban legend now. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But you got the witnesses, you know.
Yeah, well, can't find any.
I mean,
just because somebody says there were witnesses doesn't mean to say there was.
What, have they not been verified?
And apparently not.
No. Okay.
I just thought it was an interesting story. I'm sorry if you're disappointed, Spot.
I love it.
I thought like reading that more of the knob than the head.
It's quite a good one. I like that. Yeah. That would produce some dilemmas, wouldn't it, culturally, if there were a race of knobheads.
Well, we've got them in government, haven't we? So
yeah.
So we're quite used to knobheads.
Yeah, we put up with them.
I was going to say the French, but I thought they're not.
But mind you, you get a lot of women, wouldn't you? But they'd be like, go on, headbutt me.
Yeah.
but headbutt me in the groin.
That'd be the first time a woman asked for head.
Yeah, it would, yeah. you could say, I've got a head for these things. You know, there's loads of things you could say.
Yeah, or just use me head.
Yeah, just use me head. Yeah. Use me or me head, love.
Heads up,
yeah.
You just get loads of people trying to put condoms on them, wouldn't you?
People pissed in pubs. Here, mate, have a J-Rex! They'll be having competitions to see how many condoms they can put on their heads, wouldn't they?
Yeah, sponsored by
you can imagine when they got excited, though. You'd have to get quickly out of that fucking pub, wouldn't you?
You'd just sell umbrellas, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah. Mind you, you could probably set it up in bloody West London or something as some novelty fucking goat milk or something, couldn't you? I'm sure they like all that.
People drink soy milk, didn't they? And that's the same.
Sour milk, that would be, wouldn't it?
Anyway, talking we were totally that, trashed fucking...
Well, hang on, no. Talking about that bit where you say, shot this kid, it says here, a 16-year-old boy was nearby. The entity pointed the tube at the teenager. An luminous beam was emitted, and the teenager instantly disappeared.
Yeah.
The entities then re-entered the UFO, which flew away, gradually increasing its speed. The teenager then reappeared. I mean, why the fuck would an alien species travel light years across the universe to come and land down in a point a tube at somebody, make them disappear, and then fuck off again?
What if it was a...
Yeah, but why do you, when you get pissed, pick up something and maybe run down the road with it? There's no reason for it, is there?
Maybe they're just drunk aliens. Yeah.
They could be, yeah. Yeah, they could be drunk.
Intergalactic spirits or something.
But maybe this tube thing was, disregarding anything as convenient as a hatch, right, just to beam the boy aboard and conduct experiments on him.
There might be dimension in time.
Exactly, yeah. It might be too easy just to grab hold of him and drag him into the bloody ship, just, you know, for theatrical purposes, just to make him disappear.
Yeah, this spacecraft might be driven by Debbie McGee.
Yeah.
Debbie McGee!
As Paul Daniels are performing the experiment.
Oh, well, he needs to experiment on that.
Yeah, he's an alien, though, isn't he?
Oh, that's freaky. I do like that. I appreciate that story. It's quite good.
But it was never really extensively,
researched.
No, by anybody, but it stands the testament of time as an actual UFO legend.
Well, we got multiple witnesses.
Yeah.
We've got multiple witnesses.
It's on, it's on loads and loads of websites.
So. Yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah. I don't know what I'll make of that, really.
It's a bit like, what was that story we did on the first show about the green children?
Mm.
It's gone down pan like that one, isn't it?
Mm. I had all these good intentions, make this a serious sort of like.
Yeah, I wanted to do this show some justice, but life gets in the way, doesn't it? Eh?
Yeah.
So you have to grin and bear it and just do what you can and get on with it.
Anyway, we've got anything else in the pot?
What do you mean?
Well, for the show, we've got another half an hour to go, yeah?
I think we should talk about how would UFOs travel from great distances to our planet? How would they do it in a short space of time?
I'm a big believer in subspace type things. What about you, Spock?
What do you mean subspace?
Well, travelling below the threshold of the reality, basically.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Sounded good, though, didn't it?
Well, you mean travelling through different dimensions, don't
well,
you?
Well, we were talking about this the other day, weren't we? And we were saying that, a lot of people that sort of... the first thing, if they don't agree with the UFOs, the first thing most people will come up with that have read up a little bit about it, they'll say, well, the speed of light. Even at the speed of light, it would take them, thousands of years to reach us, and it would just be totally pointless. So they go by the speed of light theory, because nothing can travel faster than the speed of light. Einstein's theory and all that. But they fail to take into account all the new theories that have emerged in the last 10 years, such as string theory, parallel dimensions, extra dimensions, going up to 11 dimensions, I believe it is.
Yeah,
if you think about it,
Okay, now we're going to talk about the 1977 ASHTAR Galactic Command that was heard. Now we're going to talk about the 1977 ASHTAR Command Galactic Command that was heard. Superimposed over early evening news broadcast in 1977 on a few ITV networks. In 1977, a UHF audio broadcast from the Harrington transmitter of the regional ITV station, Southern Television, were interrupted by a voice speaking over the nightly edition of Independent Television News, ITN for short, for approximately 6 minutes. The voice announced itself as Vrilum, a representative of ASHTAR Galactic Command, and spoke about issues regarding mankind and its spirituality, demanding that all weapons used by human beings be laid down and peace restored. The interruption affected approximately 100,000 viewers in the Hampshire and Berkshire area. Nobody has ever been held accountable for this.
The Shires.
Yeah, the Shires.
Yeah. I would have actually lived there at that time when that happened.
Yeah?
Hang on, it says 1977. Yeah, I would have been two.
Two, yeah. An older two than me, though.
Yeah, well, let's not labour the point.
But we're going to listen to the actual broadcast now.
The Rhodesian nationalist leader, Bishop Abel Muzorewa, has accepted Mr. Smith's offer to negotiate an internal settlement based on one man, one vote. But, he says, there are conditions. These include stopping the execution of all captured prisoners of war, allowing Giroud to take part in negotiations, being arrested. In Australia, Mr. Kerry Packer's cricketers are still thinking about yesterday's High Court decision.
This is the voice of Grimmar, representative of the Ashtar Galactic Command, speaking to you. For many years you have seen us as knights in the skies. We speak to you now to serve as them as we have done to your brothers and sisters all over this, your planet Earth. This is in order that you may share and great awakening as the planet passes into the new age of Aquarius. The new age will be a time of great peace and evolution for your race, but only if your rulers are made aware of the forces that can overshadow their countries. All your weapons of evil must be removed. The time for conflict is now past, and the race of which you are a part may proceed to the higher stages of its evolution, if you show yourselves worthy to do this. Small groups all over the planet are learning this, and exist to pass on the light of the dawning new age to you all. You are free to accept the rejection of teachings, because those who learn to
many go as wide as
possible.
Then they run out.
Spiritual evolution. Here now, the voice of Grimmar, representative of the Ashtar Galactic Command, speaking to you. Be aware also that there are many false prophets and guides at present operating on your planet. They will suck your energy from you, the energy you call money, and will put it to evil ends, giving you worthless dross in return. Your divine self will protect you from this. You must learn to be sensitive to the voice of him, that can tell you what is true and what is wrong. Learn to listen to the voice of truth.
It's such a...
Read yourself. This is our message.
Really appreciate that we can't have anything. I insist on how the little full of only really choice ingredients. I can
perhaps have nine lives.
That's just
have no fears. Seek only to know yourself and this heart with the grace of your planet Earth. We seek the Ashtar Galactic Command's thanks to your attention. We are now leaving stains of your existence. May you be blessed by the supreme love and triple powers.
Thank you. do. Why, thank you. Tomato. Ah, scrumptious, simply.
We understand that viewers in some parts of the region are receiving a breakthrough in sound. We're sorry about this, and we're doing our best to rectify the fault.
Finally back home, engineers are trying to trace the source of what they call a rogue transmission, which lasted about 6 minutes during ITN's early evening news bulletin. It affected viewers in the Berkshire and Hampshire area served by the Hannington transmitter. They heard a voice which cut across what I was reading. The voice said, "Earthlings, lay down your arms. This is a message from outer space." Well, thousands of viewers later phoned Salem Television, the police, and ITN here. A spokesman for the Independent Broadcasting Authority said, "This is the first incident of its kind in Britain." Winchester police said some people were frightened by the hoax message. They said they sent an officer to calm down one woman. Well, I hope nothing's interrupted this bulletin wherever you are this evening. From all of us here, good night.
Independent Radio News at 12, David Geary. The Independent Broadcasting Authority is at a loss to explain the mysterious message that broke into a Southern Television news broadcast. The slow, deep voice proclaimed, in part, "All your weapons of evil must be destroyed. You only have a short time to learn to live in peace." The station was immediately besieged by worried telephone callers demanding an explanation. But as the information officer for the Broadcasting Authority, John Guinnery, says, there could be several different causes of the message.
Well, we don't know for sure that it was a pirate call. We know that there were some voices over saying certain things of which we haven't got an exact record. We've had a lot of accounts, obviously. A lot of people have been phoning us and other people about it. We simply don't know what it was. Broadcasts, of course, are monitored at an operations centre. But there was simply a mumble, and there was some picture distortion. We had a lot of reports in, but as I say, we simply don't know what it was.
Independent Radio News, it's 3 minutes past 12.
So, what do you think of that, then?
Yeah, it's good. Interesting. I don't know whether it was... Do you think that was real, or...?
Well, I don't know.
I don't think it's real.
You don't think it's real?
Was it a hoax?
Well, I don't think... 1977, I don't think anybody outside of the television industry could have had that technical know-how, to be honest with you.
I don't know, I think it's the opposite way. I think it's probably harder now to do that, because everything's encrypted.
Now it is, but back then...
Back then it was just raw analogue signal.
Well, so, what about the War of the Worlds? Okay.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
You could easily make a parallel with that, this and that, couldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know, I don't believe it's been real now.
I don't think it's real, I think it's more than likely it's going to be a... some sort of government experiment.
What was that show that was... It was through Halloween with Craig Charles.
Oh, Ghostwatch, it's called.
Yeah, do you remember when that happened? Mm. And a couple of people killed themselves, didn't they? Because they thought it was actually real. Like, you know?
Actually, for the first half an hour, I thought that was real.
I did as well.
I did, because I was quite young anyway. I don't know why the hell you, but yeah, you're older than me.
It freaked me out. Yeah, I remember that, yeah. It was quite good. I wish they'd still try and do things like that. It was quite scary, wasn't it? It was about a family that was infested by poltergeist activity.
That's right, yeah.
And
actually, while we're talking about this, if anybody wants to know about the Ashtar Galactic Command, go on Wikipedia and type in Ashtar while Spock's talking about whatever he's talking about.
Yeah, and they were the family were downstairs, and you could hear like scraping on the ceiling and something banging on the roof.
That's right, yeah.
And yeah, it scared the shit out of me. I think I had a few nightmares.
But anyway, the point is that you can use the media for your own advantage to scare people. And governments do use media to scare people, don't they? So we've all got that. So.
Quite often, yeah. Mm.
It's true though, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Keep talking, I'm just passing the wife the basket for the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Trace.
Cat's going to Aussie.
Hello.
Hello!
Ben Horsey, he's not well.
Oh, he's got dodgy legs.
Oh, Merlin, this is for you.
What's all the ping-ponging?
Ping-ponging?
Oh, that's the funky doorbell.
Yeah.
Is it?
See, if we get visitors, you don't.
If you press it another time, sometimes it's... what does Bill Bailey say about doorbells?
Oh,
Did you see that show?
Oh yeah, but he's got a keyboard to hand. We haven't.
Yeah, and anyway, he pressed his button. And he was just like, and he goes, it denotes a sense of fear. You know, all this. Anyway,
I think it's directed mostly at Jehovah's Witnesses and stuff.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one. Jehovah's Witnesses. Yes, I love those people.
Anyway, what do we reckon about Ashtar of the Galactic Command?
I think it was some sort of psyop project by the government.
Something as simple as that, yeah.
Did you not say, because I was talking to you about this the other night, wasn't I? And you said a lot of official universities actually studied it.
Do you know what I think it is?
Which kind of suggests that, yeah, which kind of suggests that there wasn't any government thing going on there.
I think the ratings were probably going down on that particular channel. When they need to
I don't know, I mean, yeah.
That happens. They do stuff like that, don't they, when it happens?
Do they?
Mm.
Baby,
got about five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright. There you go. So, opening for time. Okay, alright. So, any last words?
Can we do the MP3 player again?
Oh yes, we've still got an MP3 player to give away.
For God's sake.
Forgot yes. about this, it's been sitting on the side there.
Yes, any of our listeners in Scotland... you know who you are.
Yeah, right? Our listener in Scotland.
Ring in and get the free MP3 player. Right, we'll even sign it for you.
That increases its price. Ooh, by about half. Actually, right, now I'm going to give the address. badmoonrising@howling.com. First person to send any sort of email that includes their name and address will get this MP3 player. Do it now.
Yeah.
It will change your life.
It will. We'll even put stuff in the MP3. Actually, yeah. If you include what you want on the MP3 player, we'll put it on there for you.
That sounds like a square deal.
Okay, right. Right, so, we're going to have to go, guys.
Hang on, what are we talking about next week? And can I just say, you know, to people listening, and we know you're out there, we're getting better. We are. Mm-hmm. If you go through each show, you can hear that we're actually getting better. And next show, we're going to do really well. We're going to come back with a stonker of a show. Oh, we're not.
Yeah, it's gonna stonk.
It's gonna tear stonk. Your cerebral cortex in half.
It's gonna rip your mind in two. So, should we figure out what we're gonna talk about next week? What do you reckon, people?
Shall I put it in the blog?
No, we need to figure it out now.
Well, I've got to go downstairs in a minute. Look after the boy. Actually, now.
Okay, all right. Okay. Cut and edit and put it in the blog then.
Okay. All right. Well. Oh, what we're going to listen to go out with?
Neil? Come on, Neil's not chosen.
I reckon we should go for the Anti-Nowhere League, So What?
Okay, we'll do that. Alright, it's playing now.
So fucking what?
Okay, right, say goodbye then, Neil.
Adios.
We don't know when we're going to hear from them again, but maybe next week. Spock, say goodbye.
Tell a wiggle.
Alright. And it's me, Pib, saying goodbye. Goodbye, till next week. Bye! And I've been here, and I've been there, and I've been every fucking where. So what? So what? So what? So what? You boy now?